Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas for green living as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your hosts, Green Diva Meg and Green Dude Scott.
Hello, and welcome to the Green Divas Radio Hour.
Wow.
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 Yeah, I'm Green Diva Meg and...
Green Dude Scott, sidekick type. What? Sidekick type.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Don't interrupt.
Again. This is Green Diva Lisa.
And Silent Jessie waving over there.
Yay, waving on radio. Yay.
Oh, she's in the sun.
Give her a little...
I know.
There you go.
Spring has sprung, the grass is riz.
Lisa, our little filmmakers here with the flip camera causing trouble, having fun. We just played an hour of fun music, and I'm all kind of jazzed, you know.
Mean Brother Doug hadn't hang out.
Yeah, Mean Big Brother Doug.
Mean.
He likes to think he's a real badass.
A badass?
But he's really just a really cool guy.
He's a softie.
Yeah. The Uncle Buggy Music Hour. I hope you had a chance to listen to some of that.
It's going
to
become famous.
Okay. We have got a big show tonight.
Okay.
We do. We have a big show. Lots going on. We have Green Diva correspondent Sandy Holtzman from New York.
Blown out.
New York.
Wait. It's all blown out.
Lisa. Yeah, you guys. Anyway.
You guys, I'm not going to... You're not going to... I'm not in timeout. It's her time
for
timeout.
I know. Lisa's in trouble tonight.
Get in the corner.
Sorry.
So Green Diva Sandy's calling in. She went to the New York Wild Film Festival.
Wild Film Festival? Yep. That could have many meetings.
It does. But she's going to be calling in talking a little bit about that this week. And she did a post on that that's on our website, thegreendivas.com. And that's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
You can also check us out on Facebook.
Oh, please. Please find us on Facebook. We need friends.
Yeah, find us, like us, and...
Share us. We can share us.
Share us.
Yeah, I'm easy. You can
There's
share
plenty
me.
To go around.
Now, we have one of our most popular guests on all the podcasts that we've done and posted.
Well, it's such a unique...
Yeah, but you know what's funny about this? Anyway, I'm going to just say the Green Reaper, Elizabeth Fournier, or Fournier, and I can't remember. I'm an idiot. I can't remember how to pronounce her name, but she'll tell me. She's a lovely woman out in Boring, Oregon. She is a funeral director and the author of All Men Are Cremated Equal, My 77 Blind Dates. You just got to love a woman that comes up with that title for her memoir.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Anyway, she...
Which I'm still waiting on my copy because
all
I want
of our
to...
podcasts, that one is the most popular.
The Green
popular,
Reaper, yes.
The Green Reaper. And however, we introduced the new poll concept on our... The polling questions on Facebook last week. And we got like 50 responses last week with the local versus organic food thing. We're still getting responses on that.
It's a hot item.
I put this Green Reaper question out about, well, not Green Reaper. I put the question out about green burials. And I think
many,
people are a little
responses.
Freaked out about that.
Well,
yeah.
I think that for those of you, I mean,
the
free podcast is there. When was the original? We've had her on a couple times.
No, we've had her on once. And of all the podcasts, and it's probably one of the oldest ones, it has the most, but by far the most.
Right.
Place.
Well, the
I think
fact
the phone's
is,
ringing, man.
The
no, oh. It's the flash from the camera.
Now listen, people need to understand exactly what green burial is, because I think a lot of people really don't understand.
Well, we're going to find out more today.
And how toxic
so,
it is.
If you have any questions, please find us on Facebook, Green Divas Radio Show. Ask us questions on our page. First, you have to like us, and then ask questions or. Please do, because I do think there's a lot to it. It's not just what you might think. I just want to mention our fabulous online media partners, because they're doing a bang-up job of promoting the podcast and sharing us around.
And have great information.
Oh, and they're great resources,
right.
All of
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely, amazing.
Ecoseed.org has really been kind to us and given us a lot of promotion and... I've been using them more and more as a resource for like real hard news on green technology, green politics, and the politics.
And that's
of
what we're all about,
all
sharing information
stuff.
So you can weed through all this information.
And then, of course, there's care2.com, which, you know, everybody loves. And I love turning people on to care2 because I'm always surprised someone doesn't know about it. But care2 is a fabulous not only resource for green living and healthy green living, but also a way to get active. So then we have eatdrinkbetter.com, which and feelgoodstyle.com, which are both they're related. Wonderful woman named Becky is the editor, and love Becky. I've been writing for her for years for those sites, so they are now promoting and sharing the podcast. So thank you to all of them. Anyway, I want to take a minute here to just give a shout-out to Green Diva Jean, our main correspondent.
Yes.
Yes.
She's going through a tough time.
Jeannie had some surgery, pretty major surgery today, and we just want to ask everybody to keep her and her family in your thoughts and prayers. I'm sure she'll
we'll
be fine, but
we look forward to having her on real soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've missed
share
her this
our telescopes.
Share our telescopes.
Everybody loves the telescopes. So
I know.
Back on.
And by the way, if you don't know what the telescope is, it's Jean's Earth-based astrology, and right. Every month she does this little monthly telescope for us, and it's amazing how accurate they are, and always positive and uplifting messages too. They're not just like hokey stuff. One other shout out to Sarah Jane Hepler, my dear friend Carla Child's daughter.
Yes.
Sarah Jane gave birth a couple of hours ago to little Alexis Jane.
Alexis Jane, that's a nice name.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, Alexis Jane.
So all our love goes out. And Sarah Jane's been on the show before. She is a beautiful singer, and she has a band called Just Jane. And
I'd like to say a little congratulations to my son's best friend, Drew Dalton, and his wife, Davia, just had a little baby boy named Beckett Dalton.
Oh, I like that name, Beckett.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't get to go visit them because I've had a cold this week.
Yeah,
dropped
keep
a little
it to yourself, right?
Off,
yeah, I know. You gotta
touch that little thing.
Aw. Anyway, so that's kind of just the opening BS. But Doug's standing there like, yeah, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, Thanks, Uncle Buggy. Thank you for the great music.
Ride safe out there, everyone.
Yeah, watch out for...
Too there.
And
guy on the motorcycle riding down Route 80.
Uncle Buggy's riding home on a motorcycle. And I just want to... This is motorcycle season, by the way, everyone. So please take an extra look in that blind spot. And when you make turns and shift lanes in the highway, look for those motorcyclists.
Yeah, Lisa's got a permanently bent pinky from motorcycle riding.
Yeah, and a few other scars.
So, in other news, I just wanted to, a couple of things that have come up, some strange and interesting little tidbits, right? I got this thing for about a new iPhone app called No Takeout. And the idea is to make shopping and cooking at home as easy and convenient as possible so that we stay home with our families more and enjoy that process of cooking. And so it's an app that gives you, a shopping list, a very simple recipe,
right,
and just really helps to try to encourage folks to stay home and have
a
meal.
Well, I have to tell you, it doesn't take a lot of thought to realize that eating out is ridiculously expensive, and you have to drive there. The portions are usually too large for
and it all comes
normal
in little,
people to consume.
Little containers, styrofoam and plastic.
Oh,
right.
If you take it out, yeah, that's what happens.
So, and it ends up being much healthier to eat at home with the right food.
I just think
there's that whole family bonding thing. From the time my kids were little, we sat at the dinner table with candlelight, even as my kids were when they were little, and they still appreciate that.
Well, I always like the process of making the meal as well. I think can be a bonding experience if, you're not screaming at each other.
Yeah. I like visitors in the kitchen when I'm cooking. I'm having so much fun because my son, Pliny, is such a great cook.
Really?
Oh, my God. He was considering being a chef before he decided to be an architect.
Did you teach him to cook?
I think I inspired him.
Well, that's just as good.
I think I inspired him. I think he's a better cook than I am right now.
Really?
Well, that's because he probably eats gluten and dairy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, that it's not the only thing. And he cooks for me without it, which is very nice.
Good
he made
boy.
A birthday dinner for me recently, but he's a great chef.
Now, I just wanted to mention, I'm getting flooded. I don't know about you, but my email box every day now, I get about 10 to 20 emails just about Earth Day.
Oh, yeah.
How about this product for Earth Day? How about that product? But there was one that hit my email box. The Nature Conservancy is trying to rally this picnic for the planet concept, which everybody would celebrate the planet by taking a meal outside and eating somewhere outside. And I guess they're encouraging people to get together in groups to do this.
I have a problem with that.
Why?
Well, are they going to pick up after themselves?
Yogi the Bear says.
Well, if it's Earth Day, I'm guessing they will.
No, Yogi didn't say that.
Who was it that it was the forest
the
bear?
The crying Indian guy.
No, the forest the bear.
The owl. Give a hoot.
No, there was some bear.
There was no Yogi. Yogi stole picnic baskets and made a mess.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Anyway, they have a meetup page, and I'm looking at the website here, which is earthday.nature.org/picnic. I know that's a lot to say, but Jesse's going to put that up on our playlist here. But there's a map with all of the different meetups that are already being planned all over the world.
Well, I'm
the
sure.
World. Fun.
They're
I
in
like
Russia.
That.
They're in Asia. They're in South America. They're in Australia. They're in.
Oh my gosh! Maybe we could have to have a meetup.
We'll
it
have
looks
our
like
own.
It looks
April 22nd. I'll be in Austin then. I'll have to check
there
out.
There you go.
It
well,
does
we
look
know.
Like there's
people
an awful lot of them
in Austin. It's nice and warm.
There's a lot of them in the U.S. It doesn't look like any near Austin from this little map I
well,
can see.
There you go. You
well,
got to start
I'll
one.
Have to start one.
But I tell you, just do me a favor. When you're out there picnicking, pick up after yourself. All
yeah,
right?
Really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really.
Well, I remember the first Earth Day. I was in high school at the time, and my best friend Jennifer, who lives in Seattle, she and I skipped school and went into New York City.
Bad
and they
girl.
Had shut down some roads, and it was a really big deal. And we got separated when we were on the subway. And we actually found each other again. But in the meantime, some guy, you know, I was dressed as a young hippie at the time, and I got picked up some guy thought I was a hooker.
Oh, come
on. Oh, Lisa.
That was my first proposition. Oh, I was just a little thing.
Yeah?
I was
okay.
So innocent.
Oh, my
all
goodness.
Right. I have to break up this party.
What is that?
To talk about my shoes.
What about your shoes?
Oh, I am so
radio
jealous.
Shoes. Whoa,
Lisa,
now wait a minute.
So
hold
mad.
On a second. What are you about to tell me? You know what? Where'd you get those shoes?
These sneakers arrived on my doorstep from a fabulous company called Brooks Running. And wow. Their website is brooksrunning.com. These are very eco-friendly sneaks.
Yeah?
And aren't they the coolest, like,
now,
grooviest
where
looking
are mine?
Things? Well, all right. See, I know everybody's mad.
I know. I'm the marathon runner here.
Yeah.
Where
what?
Are mine?
I'm working
I run
on it.
You.
So, anyway.
What?
Let's go.
From the
right.
Packaging.
Lisa and I are going for a run. You take care of this.
Be quiet.
No.
From the packaging to... Yeah, I know. You guys are all healthy. From the packaging to the materials, they really thought through all the different aspects of
right.
the manufacturing of the shoe. And I expected it would be a groovy little shoe. I had no idea how comfortable it would be. I've had them on all day. I'm actually thinking I'll just...
Is it like
on.
Naked feet?
It is.
Like
well,
naked feet?
When I picked up the box, I thought, gee, it looks like a shoe box, but it's awfully light.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, I thought there can't
that's
be sneakers in here.
Yeah.
And these are light and fluffy.
Light
and
fluffy?
Happy toes.
Like running on clouds.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm a big fan already.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what, who is it? Brooks?
It's called Brooks. And their website is brooksrunning.com. Hmm. And you can read all about them, and I don't have time to go into detail, but they're a very interesting company, and I wanted to make sure
so we
I
have,
talk about my
we
cool
have
shoes.
Our GD.
Our GD correspondent's on the phone. GD.
Our GD correspondent.
Yeah, it sounds, you know, could be a bad thing, but it's not.
Hello.
Green Diva.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hey, Sandy.
How are you, Megan?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
By the way, I'm drinking my tea.
Your special dash tea?
My special tea.
Special tea?
I drank it all last week.
Oh,
I
my
was,
God.
It was so cold, and I was just, I loved it, and I had a couple cups of it every day.
What's so special about it? How come I don't know about it?
Well, they're fair trade, you
oh,
know,
yes.
natural teas, and they're what I like about them is they don't use any staples or anything in the
can
tea
I?
Bag
yes.
tag.
Why
right?
do they do that? Don't throw the bag at me.
I did. I just threw it.
I was asking for a sip of your tea.
No, I'm not sharing.
Whoa. I don't have... Look, no sores.
So anyway, Sandy told us about that last week, and I just wanted to follow up and
either,
say that I appreciate the samples, and I'm drinking them.
She's such a diva.
I'm sparing you from a cold.
So now, I had told everybody that you were going to tell us about the Wild New York Wild Film Festival.
Oh, yeah. The New York Times characterized it beautifully. They said, bringing the real jungle to the concrete one. And it's going to officially premiere next year, and they had a preview this last week, last Thursday, and they had four films, and it was a relatively small event. It was quiet. It wasn't publicized. They just wanted to get their feet wet and get audiences and media and people involved. And it was really, really delightful. And part of the reason it was delightful was that the woman behind it all, Nancy Rosenthal, is a filmmaker. So you didn't just have films with ecologically political statements. You had documentary films that had value as films.
Yeah, you wrote a beautiful review, by the way. I just want to mention that Sandy did do a blog post and review for us of these films. And
thank you.
They were well written and very interesting, so you can go to thegreendivas.com to hear them. Okay, I'll shut up.
No, it's fine.
Oh, now.
It's fine. So there were four movies. The first it was a four-minute animated short, and I love the name. It's called The Krill Is Gone. And instead of going through a whole political thing about what's happening in the ocean, it was an animation, like almost like a feature animation, except it was 4 minutes. And the guys who did it were SpongeBob. He did the voiceover, the guy who does voiceovers for SpongeBob. And it was just very cute. It was a krill floating around in the ocean, and it's like suddenly I can't, wait, my shell isn't growing back. What's going on? And near the end, he gets eaten by a bigger fish, which is what happens to krill.
Yeah.
And the bigger fish goes, not as crunchy as it used to be.
Oh.
And so you get the whole message, but it's very entertainingly delivered and
nice.
Very humorously delivered. And so that was a lot of fun. And then there was a movie called Alone on the Wall. And this is, let me go back and talk a little bit about the film festival, because it's not just ecological films. It deals with exploration, adventure, wildlife, and the environment. So they bring different experiences to, shall we say, concrete-bound New Yorkers.
Right.
And, so the second film was called Alone on the Wall, and it was 24 minutes, and they screened it, and there was a Q&A with the director, Peter Mortimer, and the world-renowned free solo climber, Alex Honnold.
Ah.
And what this guy does, actually he's a kid, and his mother was pretty calm in the movie. he scales straight walls, basically surfaces of mountains or rocks that go straight up. I think his biggest climb was 2,000 feet, with no equipment whatsoever.
Oh, that's crazy.
Exactly. Exactly.
I saw the photograph, and I was like dizzy just looking at the photograph.
And they warn people about that. If you have acrophobia, it's a little difficult to watch some of the scenes. And the particular scene where he's flat against the wall, I think he was about 1,000 feet up, and he said he had an existential moment. Like,
I can imagine.
What the hell am
really?
I doing here?
That's existential?
And then what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, well, he talked himself out of it because, you know, you can't go back down. There's nobody there with you.
Uh-huh.
And you can't fall. You fall, it's all, your life is over. So it was very interesting to watch the psychology of how he climbed, and they teased him about how he doesn't have a girlfriend because he basically lives out of a car. And but he is and he's humble. He's not, you know, I'm the greatest or anything. It's just he's very, very focused. So that was a lot of fun. And the third movie was called Green, which was the name of an orangutan, and it was almost 50 minutes. And again, they screened the whole movie with a Q&A with scientist Eric Dinerstein, who's part of the World Wildlife Fund, and Richard Zimmerman, who's part of Orangutan Outreach. And it was shot in, I can't remember where it was shot, I'm pulling a blank, Indonesia.
Okay.
And Indonesia and Brazil have the two biggest rainforests in the world, both of which are at risk and being quickly deforested by lumber companies and wood companies. So I don't want to give away the whole movie, but it's about how the orangutan population is suffering from depression.
Because they're dying off.
Losing their life.
Literally, they show you cutting off their life acre by acre. And they don't have trees to, you know, float in. They're eating bark instead of food.
I think I've seen a trailer of this. It really is very sad.
It is. It's very sad, but very well done. And there's no voiceover in this either. And that was really amazing because all they did was use sound, of industrialization versus the sound of the jungle, and how harsh the differences between the two of them. And the end of the movie, it was very, very well done. But the end of the movie, instead of running the credits, which I'm sure they ran after they ran the phony credits, they ran what I just call phony. They ran credits, and the credits listed every single company and their affiliates and the sales channel and distribution channel of all Fortune 500 companies that contribute to the deforestation.
Right on. Ooh, yeah.
It was great. I mean, it was just, and it was very, it wasn't, you know, there was nobody hitting you over the head with a hammer. It was just, it's right there.
Well, sometimes less is more, and it sounds like in this case it's
so what was
very
the fourth
effective.
Movie?
Precisely. And the fourth movie, I didn't stay for, I didn't realize it was only 3 minutes. It was an Echo music video called Plastic State of Mind, and it was a takeoff on two hip-hops doing a New York State of Mind or New York something.
Yeah, Jay-Z or something.
Jay-Z, right. Jay-Z and, was it Beyonce or somebody? I watched it on YouTube. It was very funny.
Yeah, I did
it was
too.
Very cute. And, again, it was ecologically based.
That's fun.
That's great.
Yeah, it was great. And they had a party beforehand, and they had some food sponsors like Clif Bar, and, you know, Clif Bars are Clif Bars.
They sponsor everything, by the way.
Well, good.
They're big on film festivals.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, almost all the film festivals I go to.
Well, that's the only time I eat them, but they were good. And they had cocktails. They developed a special cocktail for the pre-premiere, and they called it the Wild Martini, which was green. And I think it was the closest thing I could
A green martini? Or it was colored green? It was
I
a green martini because it was colored green?
I think so, yeah. I'm not sure about, sure if it was
environmentally
green.
Wouldn't that be nice?
But that's my next subject. You got me right in my segue. I think the name of the vodka they used was Vertical, or else they just stored it in Vertical.
That's supposed to be an ecologically sound vodka,
okay.
Right?
You know, it's a lot of, like, eco-friendly vodka. What's that about?
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So that leads me into running across, and let me give you his email address, and I'll repeat it later, ecobartender@gmail.com. So there's this delightful guy running around named Kyle Bullen, and he's a sustainable, Lovacore, ecologically correct bartender, mixologist, and bartender mixologist.
Really?
And to go back to the vodka, every single thing he uses in the preparations of his drinks, the companies are actively participating in environmental and social change. So the vodka he works with, and he didn't give me the name of the vodka, but he said that for every bottle sold, a tree is planted in South America. So that's a pretty big deal.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to save the rainforest, it is.
Yeah, it's the only way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So when someone has a vodka martini, they in proxy are actively participating in reforesting the planet.
I think that we should be actively involved in reforesting.
I was waiting for that.
At least you can feel, you know, really feel good about getting drunk on that. You know,
there you go.
Got a hangover that's worthwhile, I suppose. Well, Sandy, we tell us his name again. We got to sign off and move on. But
okay, Kyle Bullen. And his email address is ecobartender, ecobartender, @gmail.com.
All right. Sounds very interesting. Great report. Thanks for calling in. And
Thank you.
We'll keep drinking the tea and talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank
you. Everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Where's my tea?
Yeah, you got ripped off.
You are
apparently
not
did.
Here.
I had Guinness
wrong.
Instead.
Yeah, see, that's right.
Yeah.
You had the
poor
Guinness.
Poor baby.
Aw.
Yeah, well.
So I was... looking through the stash of books that Megan gets and she's the one that's going to have to do all the reviewing because I could do one book a year because I read so darn slow, but this one Affluenza I'm pretty interested in. It approaches affluency. For instance, it says noun, a painful, contagious, socially transmitted condition of overload, debt, anxiety, and waste resulting from The Dogged Pursuit of More.
Yeah. Well, I think it is a big issue.
I can't wait to read this. It's fascinating.
See, I think so much of the green movement, and people forget to talk, we get all caught up in all the cool stuff and the new gadgets and the cars. We forget that sometimes consumerism is an issue. Like, why not just not buy so much crap?
Yeah,
smart consumerism. I mean,
but I think we can all do with a lot less.
Certainly. What we now have.
Simplify.
Come on, think back.
Simplify.
You know, it wasn't that long ago we were running
around. Get it?
No, you can't simplify.
Hey,
20 years ago. I mean, come on, what they have for kids today? Are you kidding me? What did we have? A stick and a rock and bare feet. And had a great time.
Yeah, I walked 10 miles.
School in 10 miles and
barefoot,
bare feet.
In the snow.
In the snow.
Both ways.
Speaking of movies, since we have the little movie review today, there's a movie that's all about that if you haven't seen it yet. It's called The Joneses. David Duchovny and Demi Moore.
Oh, really?
And it's really funny.
That sounds good.
The movie opens up and you're in this family's just moving into this McMansion community, and you find out as this, I hate to spoil the beginning of it, but it's fun to know what the deal is. But this family that is all about marketing, so it's a fake family.
Oh,
they're
right.
All actors. And they all, their job is to produce better sales of all of these particular products, like the things they wear, the products she uses, the toys the kids play with, the car the husband
product
drives
placement.
With, the golf clubs he drives. It's a very funny, interesting, it's a great concept.
Really?
New director, what's his name? Derek.
Talking to
Derek,
the microphone,
Derek
we can't hear you.
Port.
Okay.
She can't read her notes.
I know.
It's her desk space. It's being crowded out.
I know.
Being crowded out. But anyway, it's very funny, the film.
Oh, good.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I
what
think
was the
is,
name of the film?
The Joneses.
The Joneses.
As in
Keeping Up
with the Joneses. Yeah. All right. Well, shall we play some random music for a couple of tunes, take a break, and then come back, and we have the Green Reaper coming on.
Oh, she's so much fun.
She is. Stay tuned. Oh, Jesse's working it there.
Working it.
Work it, baby.
You know,
work it.
She picked up the flip camera. That's what's happened. See it.
That's all right. Look how multitask that girl is.
She can do it.
She is our favorite silent person.
An engineer you can trust.
Like the music? If you're listening to a podcast, you won't be able to hear it.
Sorry.
To hear Green Diva tunes, you have to listen every Thursday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now more from Green Diva Meg and Green Dude Scott.
Welcome back to the show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
What?
Oh, my God.
Scott.
Who brought the crunchy food into the studio?
Yeah, that would be you. Green Diva Lisa.
They're tasty, but ooh.
And just want to take a moment to pitch again for people to please find us on Facebook and Twitter. I've been tweeting.
Well,
I've been
good.
Tweeting a lot. I took all day Monday. I set up a software on my computer called TweetDeck, which was massively confusing for a good hour. And once I kind of got a handle on it, and I actually did some reading, and I actually asked for help. I just tweeted, like, help. I don't understand the hash marks.
Did you get 12?
I got my 12, and I got all these, like, you know, funny responses, but...
12 for a twit.
I got...
Twit.
I'm getting better with
the twit thing.
So now, just so you know... I can like with the TweetDeck, I can manage yours and yours and
really?
We can all kind of consolidate our stuff.
Twittering.
I'm all Twitter.
Oh my God!
So anyway, we're having fun. But you can find me at Green Diva Meg, and I'm trying to build my little following. It's kind of weird, but
how do we end up with so many people in Europe? That's what I don't get.
Yeah, we do have a pretty large. And Lisa and I checked.
We looked it up today. We have 81 countries listening to us.
Yeah.
Yep. Even though there's like one person
US
in Indonesia.
Keep up. One person. There's millions of people in Indonesia.
Yeah, no, but there's only one that listens to us. And thank you.
I'm sad now.
I'm going to do a little shout out to our...
Our one.
Well, there were a lot of countries where there was just one person, and God bless them.
But 81 countries, that's kind of exciting.
It is exciting, and, you know,
speaking of international subjects, I found an organization called woofer.com, and that's
W-O-O.
For speakers. No.
Speakers?
Not at all.
Dogs?
No. It's Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms.
Oh, all right. Now you need to give the website again because you lost
well,
me.
Well, I was
dogs
trying
and
to when you
and,
so
am I talking
rudely interrupted me.
I know. We're going to have to give him another timeout.
It's the tea.
WWO.
Oh, and the Guinness.
Oh, let me start that over again.
All right, I promise to be quiet now.
The tough crowd. WWOOF.org.
Yeah, you got to be
and
fast.
And that's Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. And the idea is that if you want to volunteer, go somewhere to a different country. They have farms in Israel. They have farms all over the world. And you can go and spend a week or a month
on a kibbutz
and learn about farming and learn about gardening and help out different communities that are building and starting. And
right.
Awesome.
So I think it's a really, really cool organization. I'd like to do it. They have host families. And
there you
sometimes,
go.
You know, it's really interesting.
Well, I want to just give a little shout out to, you know, all my talk before about less consumerism. There's a product I found that is so awesome, and it's all about jewelry. But Shine, by a company named Kolle, I think it's pronounced C-O-L-L-E with the little accent, Kolle?
Excellente.
Anyway, a product named Shine, and it's luxury jewelry cleaning mousse.
What?
Yeah.
Mousse
yeah.
for your jewelry?
And it's all eco-friendly. I mean, even the can is eco-friendly, the way that they, you know, that the whole thing. She's very thorough in creating a eco-friendly. All right, it's a little, you know, it's a little diva-ish, I got to say.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's some things I want to consume less, but I want my jewelry to sparkle, okay?
But, Meg, we don't pretend to even believe that people are just going to drop everything. I mean,
right.
There's still people.
But
if you're going to do it, listen
right.
and do it a little greener.
So find some. Right, because I think
clean
that.
Your shiny stuff.
I'm afraid to even ask what's in regular jewelry cleaner, right? You know.
Right.
But it's kind of cool. It comes with a little, like, plastic cup, and you spray the mousse into the cup, and you drop your jewelry in.
Mousse.
Shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, and then just sit. Let it sit. And then it dries up a little bit, and then you pour it out and
rinse it off. And
yeah. I don't even think I rinsed it off.
What makes it mousse?
Yeah, it dries off.
What makes it mousse?
Well, I
thought you could eat mousse.
Well, chocolate, maybe.
There are some that you can eat.
So you can use chocolate.
Better not.
And so there's some you shouldn't run into because it'll mess up your car. I don't get it.
What? Chocolate mousse? Oh, yeah, with the antlers. That mousse.
The big mousse.
Actually, they're supposed to be rather deadly to run into because they're so tall
right.
that the big antlers generally
right
end up
on
in
your
lap. Yeah,
right.
It's a bad thing.
Well,
so
the other thing that's really interesting about mousse and their antlers is that if mooses.
Yeah, what is moose the when what they, is the plural?
I've seen them in. I've run across them in the woods and stuff. And when they run away, they'll go through woods where the trees are fairly close together. And I kept thinking, how do they do that with their antlers and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, how
but
do
apparently,
they?
Sideways.
They have a little
sonar thing,
a loose joint in their neck where they can sort of they turn their head sideways.
Well, wouldn't you have a loose joint in your neck if you had them big things on your head?
I'd have a few more
you know,
loose things too, probably.
I was hiking. I was alone traveling in Wyoming once, and I was like, oh, I got to go hiking, and I found a little spot to go hiking in the woods. And then later, I found out someone said, well, here's what you got to do if you run into a bear or a moose. And I'm like, you know.
Bear, moose?
Well, they said the moose were more dangerous than the bear because everybody thinks they're like Bullwinkle, you know.
People want to
really?
Stand next to them and get their picture taken.
Right. And they said,
so
you know, if you run into a mother moose who's rutting or has babies, you are in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Learn to climb a tree fast.
A tall tree because they're not short.
And, you know, I hadn't even thought of that, but apparently. You know, they can kill you pretty quickly.
Do they have moose spray?
Shall
we go
like
on?
Bear spray. Like bear spray? Hairspray?
What?
I was just in Baltimore
was that the camera?
In that neighborhood where hairspray took place.
Really?
Yeah, they have a cafe called The Hun. Because everybody calls everybody Hun in Baltimore.
Oh, no.
So that's kind of a thing down there. It was a great cafe, The Hun Cafe. I recommend it in Hamden,
like Attila?
Baltimore.
Attila? I'm looking for our poll. Okay.
Oh, the camera is now broken.
Oh,
the camera stand
Jesse.
Is now crooked. Well, look at the screen. Looks like a test pattern.
My
like,
goodness,
oh, my God.
Turn the
camera around. Turn it around. Look at that.
Okay, listen. Would you get our interview on the air, and then you can screw around with the broken camera?
Yeah,
we're
going to need the Grim Reaper now because she broke
it. It's hard to do radio and video at the same time.
It is.
Okay.
But we're mastering it.
By necessity, for sure.
Elizabeth?
Wow.
Yes, hi there.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Good. Now, because I have no memory left, I couldn't remember how to pronounce your last name.
Fournier.
It is Fournier.
Yay.
Okay, well, I would have thought so, but I thought, you know, I always get it wrong. So, thank you.
Anytime.
So, did you see the poll that I put out?
Yeah, I like the questions. I think it's just really straightforward. It's something people can decide on, and the idea is, never thought of that, or yeah, okay. You know, it's great.
Yep, well, I was surprised.
I'm glad you're going to mention it. That's a great opener.
So just so people know what we did, the question I asked was, have you ever considered an earth-friendly green burial for yourself or your loved one? And the first response is definitely already have plans. The second one is, don't know enough about it, but I want to learn more. And the third is, I don't think so. And so we got even numbers, exactly the same amount on the first two, definitely already have plans, pretty surprising, and don't know enough, but I'd like to learn more. Equal.
Well, that I think is the big issue, because when you tell people that a burial can be greener, they're not quite sure what that's meant.
I think it's still a topic that is not as well known. And so there were only two people that said, I don't think so.
So, Elizabeth, you probably hear news about legislation in different states and stuff like that. What's the latest on where you can do what?
Well, in New Jersey, unfortunately, no backyard burial.
Well, no, that might be a good thing here, because we got the mob. The mob would take advantage of that. And,
some regulation might be in order, huh?
Yeah, Jimmy Hoffa's around here somewhere.
No.
There's more places, though. I mean, that's been something nice that y'all have. Something fascinating as far as newsworthy things. Up north of y'all in Bergen County,
right,
there is going to be Mary Rest Catholic Cemetery, and they are going to open something up. Now, you don't really see green burial parks or green funeral homes necessarily, especially with the Catholics, that go forward. So that's pretty thrilling stuff.
They've actually called us quite a few times for an interview. So
we'll have them on.
Yeah, we should.
Have you ever seen the burial grounds where there is no headstones? The only stone they allow is the one that's level with the ground.
Right, embedded in the ground. Right.
In my neighborhood in Austin, they have one of those.
Right.
It's called a memorial park, and that's what they have out here in Oregon too.
Well,
almost more pleasant.
You know what I was reading about this time that I hadn't really we didn't discuss last time on the show was how not green-friendly cremation can be, and there's a lot of things people don't really think about. So would you talk to us about cremation a little bit and what's green or not about it?
Yeah, something has to happen with cremation to actually start up the fire, to keep it stoked and to keep the burning process going. Now, normally that's going to be butane, that's going to be propane, that's going to be some sort of gaseous emission going on. Whatever you're burning, you're going to be burning some sort of plywood, veneer, lacquer, press board, something which has chemicals,
and glue.
Something with resin,
glue.
Yeah, glue, even something so small as, yes, cardboard is biodegradable, but no, when it's pressed together with toxic glue, that's kind of an issue. So all of that stuff is going up in the air. Not just the reciprocal, which is actually holding the individual, but also the concept of maybe what's inside the individual is going up in the air.
Wow.
So we try to remove pacemakers.
Oh,
if somebody's being treated with strontium 181, which is a very, very, very potent bone cancer radioactive.
Yeah,
exactly. That's something where the family all knows. They basically clear out of the house. They're well aware that that's happening. So that goes on. We try to make sure that someone like that is not cremated or everything has been removed. Or also just the fillings in your teeth, that mercury has to go up and it has to go someplace.
So where's it going to go?
It's going to go up and out. Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing I think a lot of people aren't aware of is that in many states, and I believe New Jersey is one of them, you are required to buy a casket and for cremation.
Required.
And a casket of a certain standard as well, right?
Really, why is that? Now, why would that be?
Because the mob is
involved. Well, it depends. Again, states have state rules. If some states say they want something as rigid as a casket, because that way a lot of it is really just for the crematory operator.
Right.
That way they have something where you know, you're kept in refrigeration in an organized fashion. You come from wherever, you just go in, off you go. What we have in Oregon is you need to be in some sort of a rigid container, which the crematory can say, yes, this is a rigid container. And again, it's easier to get you from where you're going.
Yeah. Better than a burlap sack. I understand that. For
sure. And yeah. Also the person, I think, is something we never think about is the crematory operator, even though they do this every day.
Yeah.
They don't want to look somebody in the face. They want you to be covered. And they
right.
also,
certainly.
Pulling, the idea of people don't get this too, also similar to lowering a body into the ground. If you're going to do that with just somebody, I mean, all the weight goes to the center and it doesn't work so well. The idea of somebody being on a rigid bottom,
yeah.
you know, much easier. Distribution of weight.
So I wonder if in New Jersey, could I just do like a really simple pine box that isn't
no,
treated
New Jersey,
with
you could do a 55-gallon drum.
Oh, come on. Yeah, in the Hudson
too,
River.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a place down there by Atlantic City, down in a place, I believe, it's not Oceanside, it's called Ocean City. Is that the town
right.
down by
yeah.
there?
Yes.
There is a cemetery in Steelmantown, and it's called Steelmantown Cemetery. It's also known as Eternally Green, and that's another place, too. That's kind of the first one to show up in your part of the world. And what I mean by a burial ground, which is green, it's actually a natural preserve, and it hasn't been developed to where there aren't concrete boxes already placed in the ground for vaults, and a lot of it doesn't, when you show up there, you might think you're taking a walk through a, you know, an eco-nature land versus a traditional cemetery.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Are there any markings in terms of where people have been buried, or how does that work?
You know, we've always thought, oh, we'll just do a GPS system. I think green burial enthusiasts and think tankers always thought, we'll just do a GPS to mark, but as humans, we want memorialization.
Right.
People want at least a boulder with something, or
right.
that idea of, hey, you know, I know mom is here because every week I show up and I put a certain rock someplace, or I lay branches or flowers, or we all want to be different, even though ultimately we're just as unique as everyone else. It's one of those strange things.
Like the Celtic cairns, right?
Which
are the little
right.
stone piles.
Stone
yeah.
piles.
Yeah, right.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely fabulously great questions. You know, and I think there's a lot of creative green burials that go on. And if I can take a little while to talk about some of those.
Yeah,
I'll
ask you what some of the most unique, you know, burials you've done out there.
They are all unique and special in the sense that these are off the charts a little bit. One I did that was really neat was the whole family worked on the Ponderosa Pine box. They found wood, they repurposed it, they spent a week, and this was three generations of a family out in their shop and kind of celebrating and playing music that their
right.
grandfather would
idea.
Have liked. And I thought that was very special and how sacred and wonderful that then all six of the grandchildren had a strap on the corner and they all lowered him, and I just thought that was nice.
Mm.
I've been to one that I really loved where it was on the banks of a river. It was a family's property, but it overlooked a river. And after the burial happened, there were some fishing poles, and they invited everybody to go fish and grab some salmon out of the river. Then we all feasted on that salmon that was actually made, and it was cooked in a pit very close to where this woman was laid to rest.
Aww.
She loved the fresh salmon from her yard. So that was neat. So she actually got to be there for kind of a final meal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
things like that, it's all really pertains to the individual. There's been times where there was somebody who's going through a lot of turmoil in his life, and he was just recovering and rehabbing quite a bit, and finally he took his life. So the family said, well, why don't we all kind of stand around and write on a piece of paper a wish that we had for him or something that he could have, he was trying to do. And then that was kind of burnt in a fire, and those ashes were kind of smudged on his resting place as well, just kind of as a thank you, we love you, sorry it didn't work out sort of thing. So,
aww.
You know, I think that when families decide they're going to bury somebody in their backyard or underneath an oak tree, or the person's going to become a tree, they really get creative and, I guess, think outside the box, for a lack of a better phrase. So there's definitely a lot of interesting things.
Well, I think that shows a great deal of love and compassion for somebody. I
well,
mean, I think I've always thought that it's better to celebrate the life than mourn the death. I mean, you know, we all
yes.
do, but celebrating the life, you know, don't forget that. And that's a great way to do it.
And in each case you've discussed, it's been very individual. It's very
reflection
personal.
Of the
yeah,
person.
I think the person kind of walked somewhat of a green life, so they decided if they want to have, they want to live green, they want to have a green goodbye too.
Absolutely.
So that's been something that's happened in the sense of, hey, if I'm going to be an eco-eccentric, then why not I do that in death too? And back to the gentleman's point here, the services nowadays, some new trend which is happening is the living funeral. And this isn't that, you know, your time is coming soon, so you're trying out your casket and you're there, but it's the idea of before you go low. They actually made a movie about this.
Get Low.
With Robert
Duvall. Yeah.
Get Low, exactly.
Get Low, right.
You sit around and everybody says all that great stuff they were going to say about you once you were no longer walking the earth. They say, and you're there, and you actually get to hear it all. And how wonderful.
That is kind of cool.
That would be nice.
What an uplifting, wonderful experience.
And
for
that
you.
Movie, by the way, was so under underrated.
Appreciated.
Underappreciated, because I really thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's right.
Highly recommend. Go find that one. Now, tell us, well, first of all, let's talk about your website so people can find you. And you're out in Oregon, so what's your website?
Yeah, I'm actually in a town called Boring, so I'm in Boring, Oregon. Isn't that fun?
I've restrained myself from the Boring, Oregon reference.
Yeah, that's a kick in the pants just the same. So I am at Cornerstone Funeral Services. I wish I was Boring Funeral Home, but I'm not. But you can find me at cornerstonefuneral.com. I have a lot of information on there. There's also green resources, what have you. I also encourage people to email if they have a question that they think might be kind of hokey or silly, or they look online and don't really find the answer. I've had people ask all types of things, such as, you know, can I be buried holding my deceased cat? Can I... whatever. And you know what? And whatever it is, great.
Right.
And I'm happy to see.
No questions.
I can research it for you. Right. But no judgment, people. No judgment. We're all in this together. So if you take yourself too seriously, you never make it out alive.
Well, ha ha ha. That's good. That is really good. Well, I am just, I hope I end up in Boring, Oregon, actually. Because I'd love to have you...
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful place. I've actually been there.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your taking the time to call again.
Sure.
You know, and for our listeners, again, it's... what is it? Cornerstone Funeral...
Yes.
Services?
.com.
.com.
Yeah, Cornerstone Funeral Services, but the website's just the first two words to make it more easy.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I kind of, you know,
well,
got
we have it up.
Away
we have it on our page. Is it up?
Well, I think it's right now. It's up on our playlist for this. I will make sure that it's definitely posted again on our Facebook fan page. People, find
Yay.
Us!
Yay! Yeah, I have a Facebook page too. It's not necessarily a fan page, but it is called Green Burial Portland. You know, just if you want to see kind of what's going on us West Coast, Left Coasties here, and see what we're doing for Green Burial. Pop on in.
Well, there you go. Thanks so much for calling, Elizabeth, and we'll talk again soon.
Great to hear.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, all right, so what are your plans, Meg?
Well, I don't know. My plan is that I want this woman to help plan it, because she's so cool. And I think she, I don't know if she officiates, but I know that she conducts some of the services.
Oh, you want to be officiated over?
No, well, I don't know. But
you're Catholic, girl?
I just know, no.
A McWilliams is not a Catholic?
No. None of us are.
What are you?
That would be Protestant.
Protestant.
Oh, you're Protestant too? Orange,
Orange
Irish?
Irish.
Orange. Wait, whoa. No, you're not taking my line.
I know. Wait. Jinx.
Nah, jinx. All right, so we're all Protestants. It must be the where we're all from.
Well, we're Scots-Irish, really, so that's
where
that comes from.
The Great Scots.
Well, yeah.
So, all right, so the hell with that. You don't need any, you know. Officiating over, just kicking all.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. No, so I mean, I clicked on, I'm planning a green funeral, but the honest God truth is, I don't really have much of a plan. I've just said it out loud so my family knows that I would love to have some of these things, but who knows? You know, I haven't done the research on what New Jersey
allows
and doesn't.
Oh, you got a long way to go. Stop.
Let's hope so.
Well, it is good to talk about it so people know what to do.
Well, you never know.
People important to me.
I do not
now.
Want to be cremated.
I'm not into the cremation thing. I don't think.
But I do not want to be around forever either. So I like the.
So you'd rather decay.
Claw.
Yeah.
I'd rather decompose. Compost.
Put you in a leaf pile.
Just
okay.
Toss me in the
Everybody
compost.
Heard that. That's what we're doing with Lisa. We're going to throw in a leaf pile.
Yeah, we'll put you in a shroud. Right. Well, they did that on 6 Feet Under.
Right, right.
Remember
right.
they did that? It was like one of the first real, you know, public sort of whatever of a green burial.
I'd like to.
So she never really answered your question. I think about the field where that field where it just is kind of open and roaming. I don't think that people do know where people are.
Right, right. Well, I guess I'd like to be somewhere where people can visit if they're so choose.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a tree. I'd like to be planted with a tree and become part of the
but
tree.
But it's so hard, you know, like how do you, where is the, you know, like I don't own any property right now.
So where would you do it? Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to be cut down.
I could put you in my backyard, but I'm selling the house. Sorry. You get my sister.
I am like so mobile, it's really kind of tricky.
How about a park for kids or something like a, you know, playground?
Well, that's probably creepy to some people, but for instance, I have a little shrine at home with all my animals cremated because I haven't stayed still long enough. Well, no, because I didn't want to leave them.
You have what?
Well, I have the cremated remains of my few of my animals in little boxes and a shrine.
Just, what are they on next to the sugar and the flour?
Well,
kitchen?
They are. They're in the kitchen, but but not near the food.
I'll keep that in mind if I ever have to cook.
But the thing,
pinch of. Yeah. Had about 42 animals buried in the
book. Oh, my God. It's
you
like
know,
the book.
The people had lived there for years.
Stephen King,
years.
Little pet cemetery.
Pet cemetery.
In my yard. It was a little...
Ew. Oh, I wish
that wasn't a very big yard,
camera.
Lisa.
I know. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a little creepy.
Hey, get off of Fluffy.
No, but you know, I don't want to leave them behind because I know I'm not staying there.
Really?
You know?
Don't you have the memories? Really?
I just feel a little weird about leaving them.
I'll tell you what, I'll hold on to them for
in
you.
A garden that isn't
give them
to me. Okay. Yeah, because you're stable.
You.
Well, our oldest sister.
Mr. moved to Connecticut.
Our older sister doesn't want to be cremated, and she doesn't want to go under the ground. So she's campaigning that we have a family mausoleum. But
I don't think
we're going to go that route.
Will she have the money for it? I mean, come on.
I don't know if she's planning on it because none of us are interested in spending money on that, or I'm not interested in being around that long.
No, I don't really want
to.
Yeah,
take
you know,
up
once
any
you're
space.
Gone, you're gone. I mean, really, you know, your legacy is your memories. I mean, the body's just the vessel, right? Get rid of it.
Well, there's all that.
Go on.
Pitch it with the garbage.
Where's my my show outline?
I have it. You want it?
I got my own. I don't need yours.
I'll make
I don't need your stinking list.
Your stinking list. Your stinking list.
I just wanted to kind of pitch what's coming up next week, because next week we have our favorite green car dude, John Volker.
Oh, yeah.
Senior editor of High Gear Media.
Oh,
but
boy, do we have
see
a
him a lot on
about.
GreenCarReports.com.
Yeah.
And he will have just come from... That's just music in the background. Henry Mancini, as a matter of fact. He'll just be coming from the New York Auto Show.
Right.
So,
and there's a lot of talk going around.
A lot of talk.
Oh, my God. When gas is $4 a gallon,
gonna be
creeping up to $5.
But you know what? We got to give him credit. He called it before anybody else.
Well, he did. We have discussed it multiple times.
Yeah. That it's going to go to $5, and then I heard them say that probably by the end of May, they're expecting the price to hit $5.
Well, you know what? My commute is much shorter, and my car is much more efficient.
Yeah,
than
you did.
It, was
it worked out. It worked out. You didn't have to break your neck to do it. So
almost.
It's, yeah, I know. It was, you're hanging upside down there for a minute.
Yeah, but let me tell you, it was a blessing.
Yeah.
Because I can't. I mean, who can afford it?
I feel bad for people who have Mary.
Trust.
You know, Mary's got that
old Trailblazer,
and the thing you know sucks up like 12
gallons
of
milk.
Well, she has to get rid of it. When's she leaving? Weren't she going to school? August?
She's going to school in the end of August.
Yeah. Can she have a car on campus as a freshman?
Yes, she can.
She can.
Yes.
Wow. The finger's up. One
the
minute.
Finger.
Are you
gave
better
me the
talk
finger.
About? Give me. So we got. What else
minute.
We got coming
Did
up?
Did you break the camera?
Who else do
Did
we have?
Did you break the camera?
No. She's just taking a picture of the side of the wall there.
Okay. Just so people know, on our website, thegreendivas.com, I do have a schedule.
Schedule?
And it's fairly up to date, but actually, I think we are now booked through June, and we're into July, and we have some really cool guests coming. Just give me a minute to get there. Okay.
So, and, you know, people, if you have something to say, interact, leave messages for us, and we'll you know discuss whatever you want to talk about.
Okay.
The
week after next, we've got John. But the week after that, we have the founder of TreeHugger.com, Graham Hill.
Graham Hill, I see. I won't be.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well. Yeah, see?
Eh?
It's all right. We don't need you.
Yes, you love me.
Hey, we burned up another hour, folks. Please, you know, have a great Green Week. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter and all that fun stuff. And tune in next week.
Be green.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta for now.
TTFN.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Hour. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit thegreendivas.com.